It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Well, welcome into another edition of the Sports Objective Podcast, and we've got a great show for you today. We've got two great guests. It's going to be all ECU. That's right, all East Carolina Pirates. We got two great Pirates. We'll start off with Tom McClellan, and he is a great. You'll find out more about him. And then we'll also have in the second half hour, Steven Igo from Voice the Colors. But right now, he's an assistant AD when it comes to communications for East Carolina University. And we're going to go right now to the interview with Tom McClellan, and he does a great job. And let's go to that interview right now.
You're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. One of my good friends from, it's hard to believe, I've known him for about, 9 or 10 years now. And that would be Tom McClellan, the assistant AD for communications at East Carolina University. And I know that his primary responsibility is football. Tom, thank you so much. Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast.
A pleasure to be with you, Dave, as always. And it's always a neat opportunity to reconnect with someone who has that much love and passion for this program. So I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking about getting ready for this interview this morning. A couple hours ago, the fact that we've seen a lot of wins together. When I first met you, it was under the Skip Holtz era, and two conference championships in 2008 and 2009. And then I was thinking about an old country song. My grandfather was a big fan of Lynn Anderson and the song Rose Garden. He said, I never promised you a rose garden. There's going to be some rain sometimes. And I was thinking about that today. We've had the rain, right. But now there are a lot of positive things going because now I think we finally have our rainbow. What do you think?
I would fully agree with you. Our business, as you know, Dave, is usually about peaks and valleys, you know, ebb and flow, whatever term you want to use. You got to pay for the good times with a little bit of adversity. And like you, I think that we're certainly headed in the right direction. I know everyone around here within the department, even on campus, across the street, as we say, to the folks in the academic side, there seems to be renewed optimism. I know we are inside athletics, honestly rejuvenated with the direction that I think we're headed.
I firmly agree from the outside looking in. For my case, obviously, I'm not inside the Ward building, but I can tell you that the people in the street that I talk to, just average everyday people, where I work, they come in and if I see they have a Pirate thing, I say, go Pirates. And then they find out I'm a Pirate fan and a graduate and alum and supporter and all that. And we get to talking sometimes, and there's a lot of people fired up by Dave Hart coming back and also Joe Dooley. And you know what's funny? Was it on purpose that both announcements were made on Throwback Thursday?
You know what? I never even thought about that. That's a good observation. No, I can't claim that it was choreographed like that, unfortunately. But thanks. We'll do it from now on.
I'm very excited. First off, with having Dave Hart back, it's a guy that he was there when I was the student at East Carolina. So you know, you obviously have the nostalgia piece of it. You have the Peach Bowl, which ironically I was not a student at the time, but I was actually a fan and went to the Peach Bowl game. But I became a student the next year, my sophomore year. Not to give a thing about me, but it's just funny how things come and go. When you were talking about reconnections, it's great to have him back part of the program.
Yeah, no, I fully agree, and I hate to use a movie slug as a lead-in or a segue, but, you know, kind of back to the future look has been in. I did not have the pleasure or privilege of working with Dave. I came here in 2004, right before Terry Holland was hired. But I'd heard the stories. I'd obviously, in my role with access to a lot of files and research, I had formed a pretty favorable opinion about Dave and what he had done here as the AD, which ironic, and people might not remember, when Dave first got here in 1988, we were 3-8 in football, and 3 years later, we're 11-1 and winning the Peach Bowl. So I'm hoping, again, history repeats itself, and he's on the same track. We don't know how long Dave will be here ultimately. I know that he was brought in with the charge of hiring a basketball coach, check that off in the box, and now he's charged with doing a complete evaluation of our department, finding where what we need to do, where we maybe drifted off course, get everyone back on the same page again. And if you know Dave, and I have had a chance to meet him now for the last couple of weeks, it all goes back to the one element of people and treating people the right way, valuing the Pirate Nation. I know that term's used an awful lot, but there's a lot of sincerity to that. And, you know, that everyone, every single person, whether, and this has also been said a lot, whether they give nothing, but they buy season tickets, whether they come to a game or two a year, whether they give, you know, $200 a year, $1 million, whatever, everyone is on a level playing field and deserves the same amount of respect. That's how this place was built. And again, I've been here for 15 years, and I got to that understanding pretty quickly, that this is a unique environment. It is a very special place. I you know, people take a job, well, yeah, I'll be here 3, 4, 5 years. And I fell in love with Greenville, fell in love with ECU, mostly because of its people and how they support the program. And I think that with what you said earlier, Dave, that those days are going to come back. There's a lot of work to be done. There's no question about it. There's going to be still some more boulders that we have to hop over, to use a bad analogy. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I think the move is up.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Now that it looks like another analogy, the storm is blown over, so to speak, over the program. Maybe over the last few years, it looks like it's there's sunshine as we're recording this interview, and that's what I'm looking forward to. And I think that when you look at the passion for the fan base, that the fan base has with Pirate Nation, you look at, for example, I am just totally elated that Joe Dooley is back as the head basketball coach. I think that was one of those things there were a lot of people on pins and needles, people worried because a decision hadn't been made to hire a basketball coach.
Right.
But I think in the end, you know, the term I kept coming back to was slow and steady wins the race. And
right.
I felt like that was the thing, is that it'd be easy to hire any basketball coach, anybody with a pulse, and I don't mean that mean to other candidates or people out there. I'm just using that term generically. You can put somebody in there, but that doesn't mean they're always going to be the right fit. And timing is everything, and I think Joe is I don't know him personally, really. I've met him a couple times over the years, back in the 90s when he was here. I think he's the thing I think about him is he's a fighter, and I mean that in a good term, meaning that
sure.
He's a hard worker, and he sees this. The thing that I love about Joe is, even though he's not originally from here, you almost feel like that he is part of family. I hate to use that term too, but he feels like family. He feels like that. It seems like he's very comfortable and at home at East Carolina.
No, I agree with you, and that was one of the things. You know, obviously X's and O's and what he's accomplished on the basketball court, be it at Kansas as an assistant for Coach Self or running his own program down in Florida Gulf Coast, that they speak for itself. But I think what makes Joe the perfect candidate at this point in time in our program is we need to have that embrace of the culture here. He understands it. He knows it. He did it when he was coaching here before, both as an assistant and as a head coach. In fact, was on the staff when we went to the NCAA tournament back in 93. He's had a lot of success following that, obviously. But the biggest thing is that he understands about being visible. He understands about embracing the culture that we have here, which, as he said during his press conference and on, you know, subsequent interviews that he's done, tell you what, Minji's Coliseum is one hell of a place to play when it's packed and when you've got a home court advantage. And that's what he's going to bring back here over his tenure as head coach, is his second tenure, if you will, is that tough home court advantage, because we've seen it. We saw a little glimpse of it back in a few years ago with the CIT run. But Joe Dooley is about NCAA tournament, is about the NIT. I'm not making any promises, but that's what his sights are set on. And to create that home court advantage that's been so critical to our success in the past.
That's exactly right. I was very excited too, by the way, Tom, is the fact of his recruiting is amazing.
Yes.
There's also been reported about that he, before he even got the job, he was reaching out to high school coaches here in our area and Eastern North Carolina and North Carolina, period. And he's the kind of guy that if he has a shot, I know there's some five-star guys that are obviously going to the ACC and maybe some big conferences, but the great thing about the job now Tom, is when he was here before, we were in the CAA. It was a great conference. Love the CAA. It brings back a lot of great memories, a lot of great schools, not knocking that conference. But now, even though we don't have the culture that we do, like, say, in football and baseball and some other sports, he has a chance now with the American to say, hey, you may sit on the bench a couple years at the big ACC school or whatever Power 5 school, or you can come here and start immediately for me as a freshman.
I agree. No, you're right. And, you know, you don't want to dismiss that we don't, quote unquote, recruit against Duke, Carolina, whoever in the ACC. But there are plenty of players that can help this program to get to the next level. And I think Joe sees that. He's about as well connected as anyone in the business. So I don't have any concerns. I don't think anybody close to basketball, close to the athletics department or the school has any concerns about him being able to bring in the type of player, the caliber of player that will get us past where we are now. And I think everyone's really excited to look to the future.
Absolutely. I wanted to obviously compliment you guys too, not because you're on here. We did an emergency podcast and myself and Kyle Barber did about Joe coming back. And in fact, the title of the show is Reunited and It Feels So Good.
It's a song, wasn't it? Way back when? Yes.
Yeah, 1979, Peaches and Herbs. So I felt like that was a song, one of the first songs that came to mind. I'm a music nerd, but as you probably know, I love music and DJ. But I felt like with you guys, when I was reading, like, you guys had everything. I'm surprised you didn't have any hobbies or anything. You guys had did a tremendous job with the bio, including where he went to high school and all his accomplishments. And I just wanted to publicly salute you guys. It was amazing.
I appreciate that. Jody Jones, who handles basketball exclusively in our office, I mean, we're an entire unit, a team effort. We all have our responsibilities. You mentioned before, I deal with football in the fall and in the spring. But Jody takes charge of our men's program and did a whale of a job getting everything ready to go for that particular announcement. I thought the other neat thing that he did, and through his contacts, was able to get a hold of some major players in college basketball for the quotes that we used, you know, the quote-unquote what they're saying quotes, yeah, that we rolled out there. And I was really impressed with Jody's ability to track those down. And there are some flattering words to be said about Coach Dooley.
Yes, and the thing is that my other thing I said to folks is, by the way, speaking of Joe Dooley, is, okay, we've got a great guy in there. Give him a chance. Be patient. It's so easy. And I call it the Pop-Tart society we live in. Everybody wants things now instantaneously with social media or different things. And I was saying, you need to give this guy time. Give him a chance to recruit. He has to have his coaches in. We haven't even had we're not even through baseball season, and it feels like we're already jumping over football season and basketball. I know that's because of the excitement, but I just want everybody to definitely just take a deep breath. I guess about it, so the program itself, just take a deep breath and enjoy the sunshine we're having now and with the program. And baseball is doing very well. There's a lot of non-revenue Olympic sports that are doing very well now. And so,
right.
I wanted to ask you about, for folks listening right now, about football and generics for season tickets. I know that's something that's we want to have a big push, and we want people to support the program. And I just want to get your thoughts on, I know people can dial 1-800-DIAL-ECU
right,
or ecpirates.com and order their tickets.
Correct. And they've been on sale since, I think, April 1 was a priority date, but they've been on sale before that. And to be honest with you, you know, let's not beat around the bush and let's be transparent. Yeah, that's a concern of ours based on what has happened. In terms of visibility, numbers, people in the stands, no one likes to see what we saw last year. The funny thing or the ironic thing about that is, again, a testament to our fan base and our tremendous culture here. We still led the league in regular season attendance last year for football, despite, you know, being 3-9 at right close to 37,000 per game. Those are tickets out, bought, what have you. And so that, if that's not a feather in anyone's cap and something that we're very appreciative and we're indebted to our fan base for, I don't know what else I could say. But, you know, it's like basketball. It's going to take a little bit of of work bouncing back. I think what Coach Montgomery has done over the course of the last, let's say, 6-7 months with the hires he's made, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and bringing Coach Dahl back to head up our special teams, watching our guys each day during spring practice, seeing the spring game, seeing their intensity. Again, I hate to sound like a used car salesman, Dave, but honestly, I'm usually, you know me, I'm a guy that doesn't get too carried away with overindulgence and excitement. But what I saw, it brought back a lot of memories of, let's say, the Skip Holtz era. What I saw on defense with Coach Blackwell during the spring. Again, just a different engine that they're running with. Now, is it going to translate into a 9-3, 8-4 type year? You know, it's going to take a little bit of time. We have to build ourselves back. But I think, again, like our conversation about Dave Hart here, I think the program is trending upward, in my opinion. We're a little bit down. There's no need to hide the fact we're over 10,000 season tickets sold now as of April 13th. I'm sure many schools in our conference would love to have that problem. Here, it's not good enough, and it's going to have to keep growing and growing. And usually, we have a little bit of an uptick when we get close to camp, late July, early August. And we're hoping that the program will ultimately sell itself once we get rolling. Now, we're not given any favors by the schedule we play, but you can't use that as an excuse either. But you got two great opportunities off the bat with A&T, a conference champion, albeit FCS, but still a conference champion, undefeated season last year. Then you got the Tar Heels the next week. So you've got an opportunity for this program to make an early statement, and our fingers are crossed that will happen.
And that's what happened in 2016 with Coach Montgomery, off to a great start, a big win over Western Carolina, and then a huge win over NC State. Obviously,
correct.
If you're a Pirate fan, you know what those in-state rivalries, as much as coaches want to downplay it and everything, all the fans and the people and the media, everybody knows how big those games are. And to beat NC State for the second game of your career was huge. And so
right.
I see some similarities here where if you could get a good start against North Carolina A&T, you get a good start. The Tar Heels had a tough year last year. You don't know
right.
what kind of team. So it's not like that they had a 12-0 season. I know North Carolina A&T did with the winning the Celebration Bowl in Atlanta.
Right.
The Black College Championship. But their coach is retired, so you don't know. They're a question mark as well. It's every season's different. The coach is coming out. I mean, now every season's different.
Right.
But it looks like that there's a – I think that the – that'll be what I've been telling everybody. September is going to be a real definer of the season because you can really start off really well. And it's not how you start, it's how you finish for sure. But once you get in the middle of the grind, as you know, if you've been covering sports for a long time, the middle of the season is where that grind is going to be tough. And then November looks like it's going to be where we have a chance to win some games as well. But if you're a coach, then obviously you can't walk on the field as a player or coach and think that you don't have an opportunity to win the game. You have to think you can win all 12, right?
Absolutely. No, and I agree with you. And I think the schedule is favorable for us in one aspect. You got a late October bye. You play five. You mentioned this, Dave. You play five games in September. Obviously, four of those are non-conference, with USF being the only American game on the road. So that's a tough one. You got, with Virginia Tech, USF back to back. That's a tall task. But again, you want to see improvement, and I think I think our fans are going to see that. But the bye week is really nice. And then, Memphis, I think they lose your quarterback, Riley Ferguson. But, you play him at home. We've had success against Memphis at home. Tulane, obviously getting better and better. And then you wrap up the year with Connecticut and Cincinnati. So, yeah, again, I'm going to use the word opportunity. The opportunity is there for us to take advantage of what the league has given us with the bye week starting in October 27th and finish strong. I think that's definitely possible. Again, not to sit here with my purple-colored glasses, but just, again, being around this particular team and this entire program for as long as I have, I've seen very similar endings like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, by the way, looking back and doing my – I don't know the exact records off the top of my head. I'd have to look at them again. but my memory, if my memory serves me right, I think it was definitely the third year of Coach Logan, breakout year, off the top of my head, for sure. And, you know, with Coach Holtz, he started maybe a little bit earlier, but certainly by the third or fourth year, it was doing well. And we had, like you said, going all the way back to Bill Lewis, you have him in 91 with the Peach Bowl, which was, I think that was the second or third year under him. So
right. Now you're right. You're right on the money. In fact, I'm looking at it now. Steve Logan opened after replacing Coach Lewis, was 5-6, 2-9, and then boom, 7-5, Liberty Bowl appearance. Boom, 9-3, Liberty Bowl appearance. Skip came in, inherited a program that was in, you know, let's be honest, it was in dire straits and shambles, so to speak. 5-6, one game away from going to a bowl in his first year. And then I wouldn't call it a breakout season, but had a winning record in 2006, going to the Birmingham Bowl and playing USF there. And then things started rolling for him with Hawaii the following year. Then as you mentioned earlier, the back-to-back conference championship. So again, you know, you can't think that's an automatic because it's happened in the past. Every team is different. Every coach is different. But the you know, the history, so to speak, is there, and let's hope that it plays along with what we want to do.
And I would say also, Tom, I've been very impressed with the coaches hitting the recruiting trails. There are some people that may have a different philosophy with me. What I mean by that is there was recently the top kicker in the nation. We offered him a scholarship, and I was like, well, if you don't go for him, it's like asking a girl out. If you don't ask her out, you definitely won't get a date. In this particular case, if you don't offer him a scholarship, he's not coming to East Carolina or
right.
even have a shot at him. So it's better to go for it than not for it, go for it all.
Also applies to playing the lotto, too. If you don't buy a ticket, your chances of winning are probably none. So, no, I agree with that sentiment, too.
Wanted to ask you, too, were fans listening and being in right now, right out of the spring game. I know when is fall camp start for the people? I know that a lot of people that follow the program closely would probably – do you have the dates for that offhand? I know I'm throwing you a curveball.
Yeah, no, it's usually the first weekend, full weekend in August. I'm not sure what the exact dates are. Maybe the second, third. We might report on the second. That's Thursday. We have media day that Saturday. But it's always the first week. Nothing's really changed on the NCAA calendar in regards to reporting day, but it's the first weekend or first Thursday in August. We have media day in Rhode Island for the American, the 23rd and 24th of July. Come back for a week, continue preparation, and then the guys come in on that Thursday. We have media day Saturday, and we're off and running.
And I also want to ask you, give you a chance. I know you think that it's boring from your perspective, but a lot of us that love the job that you do. In fact, I wanted to mention this too before I forget. I have a theater background, and the two people that you don't mess with or be ugly to are the person doing lights, the light man, and the sound person. And the particular case with us with media, and also with the case with if you're any kind of broadcasting coaches, whatever, you definitely don't want to upset the SID. So I wanted to give you a chance. Can you tell people what you do as sports information director?
Yeah, and technology has changed our role so much over the years. And I think you and I exchanged a bunch of emails before we had this interview about me being an old school guy.
Yeah.
And people poke fun at me about it a little bit. You know, hey, you know, you still got a BlackBerry, or hey, you still have your MySpace account, and I kind of roll with it. I think it's funny. I'm not too technically savvy. I know enough to stay dangerous, so to speak, Dave, but we've got an incredible staff here that is on top of it a lot more than I am, that teaches me things every day. But no, it's simply put, I've always thought that we are the communications, PR, media relations arm of the athletics department. It's a service-oriented business. Some people might think it's the spin doctors. At times, we have to address challenges or adversity in a way that puts us in the most favorable light, and that's the hard part. But generally, it's a service-oriented business. It's never about us. I'm a firm believer we're always in the background. I get a kick out of watching these games sometimes where my colleagues will know exactly where to stand to get behind the coach on a post game interview and be seen. And, you know, I'd kind of was like, well, what are you doing, you know? But, no, we're background people. We try to put our coaches, our more importantly, our student-athletes, our staff in the forefront. And the biggest thing for me is service the media. There's some philosophies out there, especially with the up-and-coming AD types that believe that the school, and you've seen these stories written around the country, they deny access to media, they don't release things to the media because they want to be the first to release it. My bottom theory on that is that if we're trying to service not only the people that I mentioned, our coaches, student athletes, and our staff, but the biggest, you know, people we need to inform and keep happy and updated are our fans and our alums. So if that's through our office or through media outlets, you know, that more power to it. So that by the service element, we need to take care of our media people because they do one hell of a job telling the story that, you know, that needs to be out there. And I'm a firm believer in having that mindset of customer service first, especially with our media. And we try to do as much as we can to promote that environment, to service them, and make their jobs as easy as possible. And in the olden days, you used to go out and play golf with them and get them, you know, drinks and meals and what have you. I think you can accomplish that by being about as professional as you can be and laying out the red carpet in terms of servicing them to their fullest. And it's you know, and here, especially with the media coverage we have, and I go around the conference, they're all in big cities. They're third, fourth, fifth, sixth fiddle sometimes to pro teams in their market. So we're incredibly spoiled by the job that the Reflector does, the Pirate Radio, the game, you know, the three TV stations, ITN, NCT, CTI. We're incredibly spoiled by the coverage we get here, and I'll never, ever take it for granted. And, it's a privilege to work with everybody. They got to help tell the story. It's not just ECU. It's using them to help us tell the stories about all the good things that are going on here. And I'll get off my soapbox now. But that's about how it is, in my opinion.
No, I definitely agree. I was going to add Steve and I go hoist the colors.
And see, that you bring that up, that's funny because, again, my quote-unquote old-schoolness, we didn't have blogs and bloggers and dot-coms, as we call them in this business, you know, when I came up in profession. So Mr. Igo has always reminded me about being, you know, he is considered a credible journalist, which I do because I think he works about as hard as anyone covering ECU and does a phenomenal job doing that. So I'm learning every day that these 247 sports guys, Rivals guys, for a while, I think they've been bought out now, but you know, the scout guys, sure. they follow the rules and they handle themselves professionally. And I consider them part of the media corps.
Well, hopefully you'll add the podcasters to the list.
Let's hope so. Yes. You're off to a good start, Dave. I'll say that. No question.
You know, what's funny is I always tell people that studying this before I started doing it, the podcasters have a terrible reputation because they start something and they don't complete it because they expect, again, we were talking earlier in the interview about the Pop-Tart Society, people wanting it right now. What have you done for me lately? And that kind of thing. And I think one of the things we've been excited, we're off to a good start, and we're going to keep going and going and going. As long as I have the voice and the health to do it, I'm going to continue to do it. And any way I can promote ECU, you know I'm going to do it for you.
And I can't state my appreciation loud enough for that. And, you know, our door is always open. We talked, I think, off the quote-unquote air about maybe having coaches on. We'd love to be able to do that for you. Again, it goes back to access and you being a great conduit to or a platform for us to spread our word. And you have my word that we'll have plenty of access for you to do your job, and I hope we see you over here every Saturday when we play football and basketball and baseball.
I will tell you this too, you can spread the word that even though my day job, so to speak, has not been my schedule has not been where I can go to all the basketball games and baseball games that I want to, I can tell you right now I'm going to order season tickets for basketball because I believe in Joe Dooley and the direction.
Fantastic.
Never done that before, and I want to say that to everybody publicly. If you're a Pirate fan, go and again to 1-800-ECU. You can get your football tickets, and definitely get ready for basketball season, because I think that it's headed the right direction. Be patient for both programs, but also know that we can end up like baseball is doing right now, a tremendous, tremendous start, and hopefully the second half of the season for baseball will be an exclamation point. So I appreciate your time. I'm looking at the time, and I know I've taken a lot of your time, but I wanted to give you an opportunity. I hope you'll come back on. I've got some other opportunities I'm going to tell you about off the air.
Okay.
We'd love for you to participate any way you can help me there. But I appreciate your time. You're awesome. And I just appreciate the fact that when I was in radio, in country radio, folks, country radio, Rocky Mount, I wanted to help the program out. And I know there were some, I'll leave you with this, Tom. There were some folks that I know that were not happy I was doing sports interviews on a country station, but I felt like I got a lot of positive feedback from especially Pirate fans. So,
absolutely.
And if I had never reached out to you initially about having Coach Holtz, we wouldn't have you on now as a friend and doing a podcast. So it's the relationships you build, and I appreciate you, and hopefully many more times to come on the Sports Objective Podcast.
Well, I appreciate it, Dave, very much. And you're right. It's about relationships. And again, I think we're at the point here where that has gone back to the front burner, so to speak, where I think the value of those relationships, the cultivation of those, and treating people the right way is paramount to our success. And you know, and I go back to the interview you had with Coach Holtz, and you know, that's the other benefit of my job, is that I've had the great fortune to work with coaches who understood the media's role and valued the concepts of cooperation, access, and a good storyline and the free speech. And I think that's all I can ask for in my particular chair that I sit in, is to have great coaches to work with. And I've got, you know, 18, 19 of them here right now, and I'm blessed for that.
Yes, you are. I appreciate you so much. And I tell you what, the Pirate season, as we talked about before, hopefully the rain is over and there's going to be lots of sunshine, like on this beautiful Friday the 13th as we're taping right now in April, and many more years to come of that, and many more wins too. I love the wins, and I always hate to lose.
No, I'm with you. Let's hope that all comes true, and I think it will.
Tom McClellan, the assistant AD of communications, primarily for football. Appreciate you so much for coming on the Sports Objective Podcast.
Thanks, Dave. I enjoyed it very much.
Great to catch up with an old friend, Tom McClellan, at East Carolina University, and a great sports information director. His primary focus is on football, but you can tell that he's a real pirate. And Tom, thank you so much for being on with us. Next up is another great pirate who I've got to know over the last few months and love his website, Hoist the Colors. If you haven't had a chance, check it out. It's from 247sports.com from CBS, and he owns the site Hoist the Colors. He follows the Pirates and a man that never sleeps. Let's go to Steven Igo now with that great interview.
You're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, and ladies and gentlemen, we one of the busiest men I know in broadcasting as a journalist, and he was up all night and generous with his time this morning to come on with us as recording now. Steven Igo from Hoist the Colors 247 Sports. Thank you so much, man, for coming on.
No problem, man. Glad to join the program for the second time. And sorry I couldn't be there in person, but happy to join over the phone and glad to help out, man.
No problem. You know, you're younger than me, obviously, but David Letterman's very first guest was Bill Murray, and he had him on from time to time. So I guess you're like our Bill Murray.
I'm honored to be mentioned in the same breath as Bill Murray, even though I'm nowhere close to as charismatic or as funny as that guy. But, I'll take it.
I wanted to ask you, man, so much has happened. That's why we told you we'd have you back on. And it's amazing. I was bragging about you the other day to our first guest, Tom McClellan, on the show, about how you're a hardworking guy and a journalist. You'll be able to hear that. But I just wanted to bring you on because we've had so many stories. It's amazing. It's like a soap opera at East Carolina right now. We're covering East Carolina. I don't know how in the world you do it on a normal basis, whatever that is. But the last month or two has been crazy, as we talked about in the very first interview, the very first podcast.
Yeah, man, it's been a whirlwind as far as trying to figure out what to do. what to cover, you know, AD search, basketball coaching search, recruiting. Baseball is having a great season. It, you know, it's been a lot of fun on hoistthecolors.net. You know, the message boards have been popping as far as, you know, a lot of traffic for March and April compared to past years. Of course, when you have a basketball search, that happens. When you have an AD change, you know, that's going to happen. And then, you know, football spring practice got started in February and is already over. So it's almost like we got the big, you know, crazy part of the year out early, and now it's kind of a slow time. Of course, baseball is still going on, and a lot of people want to know what Joe Dooley is doing, the new head coach, going forward with basketball. But it's been a hectic start to the year. It's been a lot of fun to cover. Kind of glad that at least some of the big news is already behind us with the Joe Dooley hiring, and of course we still have an AD search and football season to come. So there'll still be plenty to cover, but at least we've got a few things knocked out.
Let's start with the AD search, because we knew that was potentially going to happen when you and I first met, and that was looking like that was on the radar, that Comfort would be out. We had an emergency podcast. The very second podcast we did was actually about that. And then, so we started out with the AD search. Now, do you think with Dave Hart coming back, my gut feeling, I'm just going to say this on the record, I don't know this, I don't have any sources, so it's not like I'm making it up, just my gut feeling. Not rumors or anything. I'll put it out there. I think that he gets a 2-year deal in September. What do you think? That's my gut feeling.
You know, I think it's a possibility. If he wants to come back and be the AD full-time, I definitely think it, you know, EC would be crazy not to make him the number one target. Now, my thing is, you know, I've heard mixed things on if he wants to come back. He lives in Knoxville. You know, he only comes to campus probably a few times a month, really, for his contractually obligated 8 to 11 days that he has to work as the special advisor. I know he likes his home in Knoxville, but I think the more he gets around to ECU, the more he really kind of gets that nostalgia, the more he really loves this place. He's always loved it, but I think he really cares about ECU, and he wants ECU to be in the best position possible. Now, of course, he can help them get there, but to make the commitment at his age, you know, close to 70, of moving to Greenville full-time for a couple of years after he's already retired at Tennessee, you know, I just don't know if that's going to happen. I think he enjoys the role he's in now, and let's be honest, there's a lot to fix at ECU still. So if he does become the AD, he's kind of just, you know, getting started on what some of the long-term issues are with the budget and other things going on in the American Athletic Conference as to where ECU stands in this league. So there's a lot in play, and I don't think Dave Hart has decided one way or the other yet. I think he's going to take a few months here on the job and then kind of get a feel for it and then go from there. But if he's the number one guy, or if he's interested, I think he's got to be the number one guy, because I don't know who else you could trust more with his experience and his knowledge of ECU to get the Pirates going in the right direction for the long future.
Well, he's definitely in place. We had that. And by the way, I made an observation, and people were telling me they didn't notice, but did you notice that both Dave Hart and Joe Dooley were announced on a Thursday, Throwback Thursday? I just thought that was really funny. Throwback to the 1990s. I just thought that was really funny.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that is funny. And it's, you know, everybody kind of picks on ECU for going back to the 90s with these hires and always going back to the 90s with a lot of their fans talking about the 90s. But, I mean, it was the most prosperous times in ECU sports history. Why would you not want to go back there? I mean, you made an NCAA tournament in basketball. You obviously had the big football season. You were, you know, good in baseball. That was kind of the start of that. So, as far as, you know, being really good and thinking about Omaha. So there's the 90s were a prosperous time, and I think a lot of ECU fans would take anything close to that, especially in football these days, and obviously getting Dooley back in basketball to return to respectability more so than anything is a big step too.
Yeah, speaking of Joe Dooley, I am just thrilled. There's some people that I know we talked about before. There was two schools of thought. You have the young and up-and-coming coach But then you also have the people call, I don't like the term retread, but that's what people are referring to it as. But I think with Joe Dooley, I believe that it's not a situation where a guy got fired and then some of the coaches we had in the coaches search where they got fired and, hey, they're looking for their next gig. This is a guy that is passionate about East Carolina. It's very interesting situation when you have a guy who is from New Jersey. He goes to George Washington, GW, but yet he really feels at home at East Carolina in Greenville. And his parents are here and all the stories we've heard there. I know his son and wife love Greenville, so I know that played a part in his decision, but it's just really cool to have somebody that really wants to be a Pirate as a coach.
Yeah, and it's been a long time since ECU has pried a legitimate, established Division I coach away from the school that they were coaching at. I think Bill Herrien was the last one. Obviously, coming from Drexel to ECU, he had his fair share of success at ECU. You look at the coaches since then, you know, obviously Ricky Stokes had been fired from Virginia Tech. Mac McCarthy, you know, had a very good resume, but was an assistant on Stokes' staff. And at that point in his career, you know, was kind of probably not the guy who was going to take ECU to the next level, although he's a very good basketball coach. And then you bring in Lebo, who was also fired from Auburn. So you're actually getting a guy with some momentum. The fan base can get behind him. He also had interest from Rhode Island. He's been involved in other jobs. He's a coach that's very sought after nationally. He's interviewed for a lot of positions over the last number of years. But he always wanted to get back to ECU. I kind of felt that, you know, from really talking to people over the past number of years, even when he was firmly entrenched at Florida Gulf Coast and even when Lebo was having success here, you would always hear Joe Dooley's name kind of mentioned. You know, hey, he wants to get back to ECU one day. It didn't work out last time in 2010, but I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. And it just happened to line up this time. And the day Lebo resigned, I got a call from a mutual friend kind of telling me that Dooley had already expressed some interest in the position, obviously not reaching out to ECU right away, but clearly that he was interested in coming back to ECU and coming home. And It took from late November until, earlier this month in April to finalize everything with the AD change and figuring all the numbers. But Dooley always seemed like the top guy, and it turned out that he was under both Hart and Confer, and he ended up getting the job. And I think as long as it took, he's still the right man for the job, and that's the most important.
You know, Stephen, I was talking to folks, and I can't remember if I told you, but it's funny how you go all the way back to last July. We have a brand new director for the Pirate Club, Philip Wood, executive director. You have David Blackwell, who takes over the third defensive coordinator in a year. You have Lebo, of course, who resigned. You have Comfer, who I guess resigned or was bought out. You hire Dave Hart. You hire Joe Dooley. It just seems there's been so much turnover. It's like the word I've used, I know it's overused maybe, but a crossroads for East Carolina. And you look at where it's going to be interesting to see what happens this fall with Scotty Montgomery. Can he win six games? Will that be enough to save his job? What are your thoughts? It's just amazing since just not even a year ago how much change we've had at East Carolina.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, sometimes you have to make change and to see better results. And I think that's what we're seeing. It's been kind of odd that you know, obviously Jay Batt ended up leaving ECU for Alabama. But from everybody I talked to around the program, it just never seemed like Batt was a fit for ECU. Clearly he had enough success here and on his resume to get a promotion, so to speak, and a more higher paying gig at Alabama. But I think bringing in Philip Wood, a guy who relates better to the average fan here, is going to upgrade the Pirate Club long term. We all know the problems that were present under Jeff Comfer. We all know that, you know, 90% of the fan base, if not more, wanted him out just from a standpoint of wins and losses and the lack of success and downward trajectory of football. So that was only a matter of time. It still kind of boggles my mind that he had to go to the Board of Trustees and Chancellor and say that he wanted a buyout before they approached him with that. So But the change in it, you know, it still happened. And I think Dave Hart, the first time he met with the ECU athletic staff, from everything I can gather, just, you know, crushed it. And everybody left that meeting as a whole just feeling much better about the future of the program. Because, look, as frustrated as fans were, you know, that leaks into the athletic department too. Now, they can't go on record and say this type of stuff for obvious reasons, but you hear stuff behind the scenes when you're covering games that make you worry. And now we've quit hearing that since Dave Hart took over, and you have some new leadership coming in, and change is necessary when you're struggling as bad as ECU has been and falling behind financially. And I think it's just going to help ECU as long as they continue to make the right hires, as they have done with Phillip Wood, with Dave Hart, and with Joe Dooley. I think those three hires are a good thing for the future, and they've just got to continue on that path. It's not going to be an easy build, but they can do it, and it's going to take just kind of a day-by-day approach to get back to where ECU can be athletically.
I know one of the bright spots I wanted to, before I forget, too, is speaking of baseball, I'm just thoroughly impressed with Cliff Godwin. I've loved him from the time he was a player at East Carolina, being a local kid myself. You have a kid from, I'm talking about the region, obviously we're not in Greenville, but he's from Snow Hill, right next door in Greene County, if you will. And I when he comes out, even the, you know what's funny is yourself being a Pirate, you can read, and you know, Troy Dreyfus with Pirate Radio, there's different people that you read their tweets and you know they're a Pirate fan. And when you see the tweets from Cliff Godwin, getting fans, wanting fans to come to the games, you know that they are a Pirate. He's not here because this is his gig right now and it's a stepping stone, and he's looking, I mean, he could have gone to a number, he's been rumored to be, you know, going to different places, and he has to downplay that, but he could have easily gone to, I know, Alabama. I've heard different reports of how much salary was, but it's great to see a great guy, a local kid who has done very well in the coaching ranks after being a great player, and then coming back to East Carolina and really igniting a fire we haven't seen in quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, Cliff is just he's the ultimate Pirate. I mean, if you would draw up a coach to kind of lead ECU, you have an alum, you have a relentless, you know, work ethic type of guy. He bleeds purple. I mean, he's just the consummate Pirate, and I think he's everything you want in a coach. He was an obvious hire for baseball. There's a reason, you know, that they turned it around so quickly. There's a reason they've recruited so well, because he knows his program better than anybody. And it's not only with baseball, you know, just every time I talk to Cliff, you know, for an interview, and we kind of, you know, talk a little bit, you know, on and off the record, and he'll always ask me, you know, he'll get my take on the football program, he'll get my take on the basketball program. He's a guy who, he doesn't only care about his baseball team, he cares about ECU as a whole. You know, he loves the university, he loves the student athletes, he genuinely enjoys doing the Cliff's Cab every week, kind of getting to know some of the students. He's just, he's a great guy. I think he's the biggest issue you have with Cliff Godwin long term is keeping him, because you look back at the Alabama situation, they were going to triple his salary, and Coach Godwin, I think, was very tempted. I mean, who wouldn't be tempted if you're going to get your salary tripled and go to an SEC program? But I think he really wants to get ECU to Omaha. He wants to fulfill Coach LeClaire's vision. Once that happens, he's only going to get more offers. You know, we've already heard some SEC teams like Mississippi State as a potential destination following this season. But ECU needs to do whatever they can to keep him, because once he leaves, I don't know if you can get anybody like Coach Godwin again to replace him.
It's a very special time, and that's been probably the one thing that ECU fans have been holding on to, is the success this far of the baseball season. I want to ask this question to you. It's been on my mind for a couple weeks. I knew we were going to do this interview. It's a good problem to have, being in the state of North Carolina, but with the regionals, by the way, I want to give another plug for your website on the message boards. I know Sam is doing a great job, Sam Anderson, one of the staff members from Hoist the Colors, talking about potential regionals. It's been very exciting to see that, as maybe East Carolina hosting a regional, And I wanted to ask you, it looks like right now, who would have ever thought that my hometown, I'm originally from Durham as a kid, Duke baseball has not been good over the years, just like the football program, so to speak. And now you have a situation where North Carolina State, Duke, and East Carolina are very good in top 10 programs. Is it a possibility? Do you see one of those teams getting left out hosting a regional, maybe even the Pirates, or do you think all three of those out of the 16 regionals, could all three host a regional?
Yeah, so the thing is, this year, the NCAA has basically passed a rule where, instead of in the past where they've kind of they kind of determined the host in the past on essentially geographic reasons. You know, obviously they went with the best teams as well, but they would try to make it where, you know, the West Coast had at least three or four hosts, you know, the Midwest had a host. They tried to keep, you know, the Carolinas from having, you know, three or four hosting spots if they had so many good teams. But going forward, it looks like, you know, the NCAA has now changed it to where they're going to seed the teams 1 through 16, and they're just going to seed the best teams. And then those teams will get the first dibs on hosting a regional. So, I honestly think no matter, even if they're all in the same state, if UNC, Duke, NC State, and ECU are all in the top 16, and they've all submitted a bid to host, I see all of them hosting. As crazy as that sounds, with the rule change, I just don't see how the NCAA wouldn't allow that to happen. Being at Duke Stadium last night and the fact that the Durham Bulls are playing the same weekend of a potential regional, they would have to host the regional on their campus, and that would be an absolute madhouse because their stadium is not equipped well for fans and for media. And if you had, let's say, you know, if you had Duke hosting and a UNCW or a College of Charleston and an ECU all in that same regional, it would be, quite frankly, a disaster from a logistical standpoint. So I don't know how – I guess the NCAA can make them put in some extra bleachers or do something to meet the hosting requirements. But I think ECU, NC State, and North Carolina for sure have the facilities and resumes at this point to host. And it just depends on how the season finishes, just because there's still 4 to 5 weekends left and conference tournaments to play out.
I was going to say there's a lot of time before that, but it's just interesting. And by the way, I got to give a shout-out, being a Durham Bulls fan. You can always go back to old school and have it at the DAP, at the Durham Athletic Park. That's a decent place. We've had to do that in the past with East Carolina going to Kinston and to Wilson to host a regional and one time a super regional. So it's possible you can move that location. I don't know if they would do that or not, being that you have three triangle schools, and maybe they say Duke would be in the regional with, I don't know, NC State or Carolina. I don't know if they would do that as like a number two seed. But it's just one of the storylines I totally was blindsided about, didn't even really hit my radar until I was reading Hoist the Colors and just started thinking about a couple weeks ago. I knew you were coming on, and I was trying to prepare, and I try to, as hard as you're working, I'm trying to work as hard, because it's amazing the work that you do. I wanted to ask you about Pirate football, your take on the spring football game, and what are your expectations? I know this is kind of like an off time, but we'll have you back on before the season starts. But what do you think, looking now? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but are things better than you thought, or worse than you thought, or about the same for Pirate football for 2018?
You know, it's always so tough to tell after spring. I could say the cliche thing and say, well, they improved. They definitely got better. The energy was good, and all that is probably true. But I think, you know, the rest of the teams on their schedule also have a spring practice period where they're going to improve, they're going to get better, and they have a bunch of good vibes. So you take everything you hear this time of year with a grain of salt. Now, I will say this, the most impressive part to me was the play of the quarterbacks. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize how good Reed Herring can be just because of the hype surrounding Holton Ahlers. And I think Holton Ahlers can be very good too, but just as a pure passer, Reed can be special. And you know, I know he was recruited by Ruff McNeil's staff originally, and he's kind of built more as an air raid, you know, passing first quarterback, but he can run too. He's put on enough weight to hold up at this level. I think he's got a chance to really surprise people. And I honestly think both Holton and Reed are going to end up playing. I think they're the two best quarterbacks. I think Holton's too good of a weapon for a staff that needs to win now to redshirt, so I expect him to play. I still have questions about the defense. I really love Coach Blackwell. I love Coach Mahoney, the new offensive line coach. I really like the hires that Scotty Montgomery has made this offseason. The question I have is it too late? I think he's really kind of figured out what he needs to succeed here, both from a recruiting and assistant coaching standpoint, but we're now in year three. He's got to win at least six games against a pretty dang good schedule. You know, is it too late with some of these recruits and coaches coming in to expect that type of turnaround in year three? So you look at the schedule, they've got to beat A&T. I mean, if you lose that game, it's just – I don't know what you could really say at that point. The Carolina game, we could break that down forever. That's obviously going to be a potential season changer. But you got to beat Old Dominion at home and steal some conference games to have a chance to get to six. But it's not going to be easy. I do think they'll be better, and I do like the assistant coaching hires they've made. But there's still a ton of questions, especially talent-wise on defense.
I was going to mention, when you were talking about what I've been bringing up to folks, being that you probably don't know, I'm a political science major from East Carolina, so I love politics and sports. But whenever we have a presidential election and they say the path to getting to 270 electoral votes and this is the states you have to win, and I'm taking that same approach, and I've been, since I started the podcast, I've been looking at the schedule almost daily, and I'm trying to figure out how we get six wins. And I'm not trying to be one of the negative Nellies. I'm really not. But if you look at September, okay, well, you were talking about that point. I want to piggyback what you're talking about, North Carolina A&T. If you look at that North Carolina game, that's normally just a pride game in state. We want to beat North Carolina, the Tar Heels and all that. But that game has become really significant because after that game, you have at Virginia Tech, that's probably going to be a loss. I mean, I hope they can win, but that's a tough assignment. In Blacksburg, at Lane Stadium, a tough place to play. Then you go to at South Florida when you have Charlie Strong, and I know people were talking about the turnover, and there was a lot of seniors last year. You still have a great coaching staff and a great coach there. And when you look at Coach Montgomery, there's only been, what, one road win, Stephen, in 2 years? That's a tough one. And then Old Dominion, they have a lot of people may overlook that game, but they have a lot of talent in that Norfolk area, man. You don't even have to drive very far, and those high schools in Chesapeake and all over the Tidewater, Hampton Roads area, it's just incredible, their high school football that they have there. So you look at the first month, I'm looking at that you probably have to go 3-2, and then October is a brutal schedule part to me, the middle of the schedule. And then November looks like that there's winnable games, and that's where you might have to win 3 out of 4 in November. I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, that's the thing is, like, unfortunately for Scotty Montgomery, his three easiest conference games are all at the back half of the schedule.
Yeah.
So they've got to find a way to survive the first half of the season, and that's a big issue. I mean, let's be real, 3-9 off 2 consecutive years. If you start poorly again, the fan base is going to turn on you. You know, it's going to be a situation where you're going to lose probably the faith of your team, which is why it's so important, I think, to definitely start with a win over A&T. But if you're really looking to turn things around and switch the vibes, you know, you got to beat North Carolina, too, and start 2-0. Because you're probably looking at, you know, Virginia Tech and South Florida, you know, those are two tall orders. And then Old Dominion is a crucial game as well. But if you do start 3-2, as you mentioned, I think you have a chance to save your job, maybe steal a game midseason, and then, you know, go into the back half of the schedule with a chance to make a bowl. But those are a lot of ifs. You know, that stretch where they play, you know, at Virginia Tech, at South Florida, they get ODU, then they go to Temple, get Houston, right, UCF, Memphis at home. I mean, that is a brutal stretch. You're looking at maybe 1-2 wins if they don't improve a lot. Or even if they do improve, maybe only 1-2 wins. If they don't improve, you could lose all those games. So it's a tall order for sure, and it's going to be tough to get there to six wins.
I know you're tight on time, and you got stuff you're working on with Hoist the Colors with the Panthers and for East Carolina. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned both Holton Ahlers and Reed Herring. I want to ask your thoughts on Kingsley Afidi. Is he a guy that we can bring in? He's very athletic. I think that he has potential and he's a great athlete. Can we use him at another position or maybe do the Wildcat or special packages they could bring him in? Because I really like him and I think he's a great kid and seems like he really, last year, he was one of the guys I looked for on the sideline that got me pumped up. He looked like he was always cheering on his teammates and trying to get them up.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that I think is just a great kid, smart kid. You know, he had a bunch of Ivy League offers coming out of high school in Charlotte. You know, unfortunately, the transition to quarterback has been a little bit tougher as far as going from high school to D1. I don't think he had maybe the necessary coaching in terms of how to run a D1 offense. It was kind of an informal offense at Vance High School, so they had a lot to teach him, whereas Holton Ahlers came from a pretty prolific, advanced, you know, high school offense with similar terminology and plays, and he's made the transition pretty easily to the college level, more easily than a lot of freshmen do. So, you know, he's still fighting that battle. Kingsley is trying to get used to that. Athleticism is really good. I still expect him to play quarterback this year. A lot of people talk about position change. But I think if you ask Kingsley to change positions, he's probably going to transfer. He wants to play quarterback. He's putting a lot of time there. I think if you know, realistically, you could have him in special packages this year. He's good enough as a passer to do some damage in those Wildcat type of formations. I do think Holton will also be played a lot in those situations. So I don't know how exactly you worry or how exactly you work out whether it's Holton or Kingsley in those situations, or if both see the field at one time, or if you redshirt Holton and use Kingsley in those situations. There's just a lot at play. But I do expect him to stick at quarterback because you only have three scholarship quarterbacks counting Afedi. If you lose Afedi, you're down to two scholarship quarterbacks and you're an injury away from disaster. So you have to keep him at quarterback unless you're going to bring somebody else in.
Well, I was going to say the common theme we had over the last three seasons, being losing seasons, is the quarterback play. And it looks like that there's finally some homegrown talent where we're not bringing in, no offense to graduate transfers or JUCOs. I'm just not – that's not my route to go. I love the local kids, and I love the kids that we bring in as our recruits from the start. I know sometimes you have to do things differently, but it looks like that we have stability at the quarterback position. And I think that – the offensive side of the ball will see improvement. It'll be a question of consistency. And the defensive side of the ball is where they're all the – even though you have David Blackwell, like you were saying earlier in the interview, I think that I wanted to bring this up to you. But the defense was what, like 130 total defense? It was towards the bottom most of the season. I mean, even if you make a decent improvement or improvement, will that be enough to win ball games?
Yeah, that's the thing is they're going to improve – they have a much better plan this year, but how much are they going to improve? That's the key. And is it going to be enough? Because, as you mentioned, you can improve 30 spots and you're still 100th in total defense and giving up 30, 40 points a game. So, that's a valid point. And to me, the biggest concern I have is defensive end and the depth at linebacker. I like the starting linebackers. I like the defensive tackles. I just don't see a lot of talent at defensive end. I don't see a lot of depth at linebacker. I think they're an injury away there from really hurting. I do think that the starting linebackers will play better with Coach Blackwell teaching them. But there's just a lot of concerns on that side of the ball from a talent perspective due to some recruiting misses, some lack of or some attrition over the last few years. So, that's the thing for me is – I think they'll be better, and I think they'll make more plays. I think they'll create more turnovers. They're going to be a lot more – you know, last year they were pretty simple. They just kind of lined up and played base defense and a couple coverages a game. This time they're going to be a lot more complex in a good way. The players are going to be able to understand it, but they're going to be harder to identify for the opposing offense when they line up at the line of scrimmage. And I think that'll make a difference, but you can only mask your weaknesses so much, and against good offensive teams, I think we'll see that, which could be a problem.
I'm very excited about football, and by the way, I want to mention to folks too, while we have you on, we did last time, but Hoist the Colors, I know people, recruiting has been something that I've really, between the one thing that I can say to give you a shout out for Waste of Colors, recruiting I'm more knowledgeable on now, and the finances and the behind the scenes of the athletic department has been two of the many things I've learned from Hoist of Colors. How can people get Hoist of Colors, and can you give them a little pitch on Hoist of Colors, because I want people to come your way. It's a really great website and certainly a lot of great message boards.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the shout out first off, man. It's a, you know, we obviously put in a lot of work with recruiting, which a lot of people don't cover, and some people say, you know, why should we read about kids who may or may not go to ECU or aren't even at ECU yet? But I think it just shows kind of the, you know, the big picture. When you can see what recruits are saying about the football coaching staff, you know, you get a better understanding of what this coaching staff is selling. You know, if you just combine some wins with it, I think the staff could be very dynamic in recruiting. They already have some good commitments. We, you know, along with recruiting for football, we're turning up our basketball coverage with Joe Dooley out and about, recruiting a number of guys, some local kids that we've talked with to get their take on Joe Dooley. We've also, you know, we're at every baseball game, you know, as long as it's within reason. Definitely all the home games, all the in-state away games. We were even at Washington for the Washington series in Seattle. Granted, we won't be going to any other road series like that this season, but we always have post-game audio. But, yeah, you can go to Hoist the Colors, you know, sign up for a 7-day free trial right now is what we're offering. See if you, you know, like what we offer. And mostly everybody that signs up for a free trial ends up staying on because they see what we offer. And not only what we offer, but the message board is something that a lot of people don't realize. You get complete access. We have, you know, not only our team, me and Sam and Walter who takes photos, but you get, you know, the best Pirate fans around who are in the know too. All their VIP message board posts you can read on hoistthecolors.net, and you kind of get a better feel for ECU athletics. So I definitely recommend giving it a shot if you haven't yet. And if you don't like it, you can cancel and not be charged a dime. But I definitely recommend giving that free trial out at some point.
And when you look at the cost, it's very reasonable, especially when you do a month-to-month. People are paying a lot of money for, like I am, for subscription-based plays, things like with Hulu and Netflix. It's very reasonable. People can definitely check it out. And I hope they will, because you work very, very hard. And for those Pirate fans that are like me, they have a huge schedule and we're trying so hard to keep up with our teams. You make it a lot easier for us. And it's great, too. Another thing, too, with the message boards, you got a chance to know a lot of great people and a lot of Pirate fans, and it makes you feel good to know other people that have – sometimes you feel as a fan lonely out there because you're like, you don't get to interact. But this is another great way to interact with fellow fans and their like of being a Pirate fan.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've met through the site, you know, with my job and kind of interacting with people on the message board, you know, covering a baseball game recently. A number of people came up to me and said, hey, man, really enjoy Hoist the Colors, appreciate everything you do. And it's just good to put a name with a face. And, you know, if you're like a, you know, just a regular ECU fan, you get to know those connections, you know, with other guys through the message board. And it's just, it's a special camaraderie, I think, that ECU fans have, and it just comes to light on the message board, especially now that you have some positive momentum and some changing. There's not nearly as much bickering and back and forth whining as there was earlier this year.
A lot better. And you said you were going on, I know, off the air on a cruise in July. I'm going on a cruise, unfortunately, on Media Day, or I would definitely be there with you guys, but maybe next year. But I'm going to have a whole bunch of Pirate stuff. Every time I go out of country, Steven, I have a Pirate shirt on, T-shirt or polo shirt or whatever, people or hat. They always, people walk by me and say, go Pirates. It's amazing worldwide that how many fans there are at East Carolina.
Yeah, and you know, they take over road venues, for baseball games, for basketball games and football games. You know, it's something to behold. And one of the more underrated fan bases in the nation. So, you know, I think we're all lucky to be a part of this thing. I know I'm lucky to be able to cover, you know, my alma mater and see what the Pirate Nation can do every day and their support, because I wouldn't be able to have a job without them. So
you got a dream.
I think they're the best.
Yeah, you got the dream job. Steve and I got from Hoist the Colors, 24/7 Sports. We're going to have you back on a time or two before the football season. And I know you've got a lot of stuff with the Panthers and the draft and everything, and you end with East Carolina with all the stuff there. Thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us here on the Sports Objective Podcast.
No problem, David. Happy to do it, man, and I look forward to the next time.
What an amazing show. Two great guests. What a heavyweight performance by both individuals. And that's Tom McClellan, who is the Sports Information Director at East Carolina, the assistant AD for communications. His primary focus is football, but he gave us a tremendous focus today. And Tom is a great friend. Appreciate you, Tom. And a new friend, Stephen Igo. I've got a chance to meet him over the last and get to know him a little bit over the last few months. He does such a great job with East Carolina. Make sure you join Hoist the Colors. It's a great website if you're a Pirate fan. Even if you're not a Pirate fan and you have your favorite team, 24/7 Sports is awesome. And you get a chance to check that out. And they even have like a free trial. You can check it out. And then a great reasonable price for the year. So make sure you do that. Appreciate you so much for listening. As always, please subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends and family, share this great information with them. In fact, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating if you like us. We'd love to hear the feedback. Speaking of feedback, you can email me at davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. Again, davidrichman@thesportsobjective.com. We appreciate you very much for that. Like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. In fact, Twitter is @thesportsobj, and it's the Sports Objective on Instagram. Thank you so much, as always. We appreciate you. And until next time, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.